So you never know who you're going to bump into.
Zach Smith. Twitter account MakerBot. I've been aware of the MakerBot since its launch in 2008. What was it like talking about it today?
It was really great. It was a kind of funky experience giving a talk in a tent in Western Wales, but it was really fun.
And there's quite an eclectic mix of people here. You've got your creatives, you've got your designers, your part-time geeks, hippies, your hardcore marketers. As a result, there was kind of a bit of a mixed reception. Do you think it was the shock of, oh my God, he's just shown me the future?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I kind of went for the extreme robots are going to be everywhere and they'll make you whatever you want.
Kind of after they make themselves.
I try to stay away from the whole self-replicating thing because that makes people think, like, when's it going to come for me? And, you know, we make machines of creation that help people make the things that they want to make.
So explain a little bit about 3D printing for the uninitiated.
It's pretty easy. It's sort of, a very simple analogy. It's a robotic hot glue gun that builds up real physical objects layer by layer out of ABS or PLA. So it's the same stuff Legos are made out of. Can be just whatever shape or form you want.
So pretty robust. You even talked about a biodegradable plastic.
Yeah, that would be PLA. It's made from corn. It'll biodegrade after a significant amount of time. You know, it's not harmful to the planet, and it's a pretty good plastic to print with.
What are we looking at paying for a reasonable 3D printer now?
I believe the MakerBot runs about $1,400 these days. It's bad that I don't know the exact price as one of the founders, but I run the engineering, and so I am just deep in nerd land every day.
Enough.
So, you know, one of the reasons we got into this is to try and make 3D printing as cheap as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, with a lot of this stuff, the price for just making one of something is really expensive, whereas, you know, buying in bulk like we do, you know, even with a markup, it's still just really competitive.
So there was a couple of questions about, what if everybody starts copying everything, there'll be no manufacturing jobs left. What's your loose answer to that?
What is the British saying? Hogwash? Poppycock?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, every time a new disruptive technology comes around, it certainly destroys old jobs, but it also creates new jobs. Digital photography killed analog photography. You know, there are no more photo development studios. But looking around today, there's a ton of photographers, and there's people taking all sorts of photos, not sticking around doing the same thing your entire life. And I think that's just part of life and growing up.
Variation.
And changing it up every now and then.
So when's the next big change coming with MakerBot?
We're just trying to put out new machines as quick as possible, and bigger, better, faster, stronger, cheaper.
Constant evolution. Yeah, well, let's get on and enjoy some of the hands-on stuff that's happening at the Do Lectures now. And thank you very much for your talk.
You're
it was
welcome.
Really nice to
You're
see welcome. Some see some beliefs and realization, some eyeballs taken out and given a good scrub here today. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Familiar face to many that come here to the Do Lectures, Steve Edge.
I run a branding and design agency, and I was very fortunate that my philosophy in life, when I was a kid, from poor families, you always have a rich aunt. At the age of 9, I went round there, and she had cabinets full of china and glass, and I said to her, when do you use all this? And my aunt said, on special occasions. And unfortunately, a week later, she died. And you know what? All I had at 9 years old was a Sunday best, and I thought, from now on, fuck it. I'm going to wear my Sunday best, and I'm going to dress for a party every day. So everybody out there, if you've got those gold shoes and that amazing silver suit or that ball gown, and you think you're going to wait for the right time to wear it, it will never happen. Tomorrow, get up, stick it on, and I can assure you that party, that occasion will happen, and you wear that every day, and your life will change.
So every day is your best day.
Every day is my best day.
I picked up a whisper early on. What was your involvement with Star Wars?
Very fortunate. As a young chap working in art departments, I worked on Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark working in the art department. Luckily for me, being dyslexic, all I had was bags of glitter, magic markers and plastic scissors, but it certainly looked after me.
Indiana Jones as well?
Yeah. Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark, actually. But what was very fortunate for me, again, my father supplied a lot of animals, but it was my pet monkey, Snuff, who was in the film, a black cap capuchin. The problem was the stunt woman would not want to go in to the snake pit. She said, I'll do anything, but... So I had my leg shaved and I wore the party dress, and it's me and Harrison Ford in the Well of Souls. And next time you watch that film,
it's your legs.
It's my legs wearing the party dress in that snake pit.
That feels wrong. I think I had feelings over those legs.
In fact, they said I had better legs than Karen Allen, who was the main starlet in that.
What's your proudest work?
My five children and my grandchild and my amazing wife.
How do you, in a sentence or a paragraph, explain the Do Lectures?
When my wife read about it last year and said I must go because I've been invited, I had no idea what to expect, and I turned up and I thought I'd just do my spiel and go home. Do you know what? I stayed for all 40 lectures and came away again totally inspired with all like-minded people from one end of the world to the other. And that's what you get at Do Lectures. You get this amazing, eclectic mix of people with all sorts of amazing ideas, but without the bollocks. That's what I like about it.
Steve, thank you very much. Some of the words on your business card are very interesting, particularly the words madman. You're the sanest madman I think I've met in a long while. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've sacrificed 5 minutes at the beginning of the afternoon talks in order to get clean. Feels good. Feels like I've just arrived bar the sleep deprivation. Back to the lectures. Just climbed a very small hill on the way out of the Do Lectures, and I have bumped into
Caroline Flint,
who has an unusual title.
Radical midwife.
And why are you radical?
I look at midwifery perhaps from a different way from a lot of other people. But there are quite a lot of radical midwives about.
Now, there's been a few emotional, passionate tears from speakers who are obviously so involved in what they're doing. You started almost before you started talking.
Well, I was frightened. Yes. And I do cry a lot. That's how I am.
Could you very quickly summarise how midwifery should be undertook?
Women are mammals. There's no doubt in that. All mammals appear to need the same sort of environment to give birth in. They need darkness, they need privacy, and they don't want people looking at them. And I think that could be added to if they could have deep water. That makes a phenomenal difference. So what I would advocate for all women, almost a dark, soft cave with a birth ball in the corner that she could give birth in, where she could be private with the man she loves or the woman she loves and, yeah, labour safely.
And in your experience of how many years and how many births?
35 years as a midwife, about 2,000 births.
What are your experiences in the comparison between a hospital birth and a home birth, for example? When I say home, let's take the midwife centres into that as well, because they're very much a copy of your home.
A lot of them are, yes, and they're brilliant. Women need darkness and privacy, and they need somewhere soft, because they move around an awful lot in labour. And most hospitals haven't cottoned on to that yet. So they might do a lovely, cosy sort of room, but they'd have no blinds to cut out the light. Or they'll have a lovely, cosy room, but it's enormous. An awful lot can be done with a tin of black paint and a small birth pool and soft mats and things.
And this, I guess, to a certain extent, removes the sterility and the feeling of this being an operation.
Absolutely right. It's part of our sex lives. The noises women make in labour are very, very sexual, sensual and... And they need to move around and they need to move their hips an awful lot, because that's how the baby gets into the right position.
If nobody has seen you talk, you do in fact perform and act out a lot of this on stage, much to the enthralled amusement from everybody who were like going, she's so right. And some women, of course, orgasm during birth.
Oh, they do. I mean, lucky beast, I didn't, but some some women do have an orgasm during labour.
How many children have you had?
Three.
You kept trying then to have that golden moment.
But it's part of our sex lives. I mean, as simple as that. Where would you make love? Somewhere private, where people didn't look at you, and somewhere that often that's dark. And it's exactly the same environment you need for birth.
And you said something interesting about your realisation that suddenly at a point during giving birth, the woman would rip her clothes off. Yes. Why is this?
Well, women always, as far as I can see, not every single solitary woman, of course, but the vast majority of women just hurl their clothes off. Well, I think they feel very hot, but actually, when you're naked, you're producing more oxytocin. And oxytocin is the driver that makes the uterus contract and makes the cervix dilate.
Is anything that really sticks out in your mind over the years of midwifery?
Well, it's great humility. I mean, basically, the women are so powerful. They're so instinctive. They know exactly what to do. They are magic. I mean, honestly magic. I never fail to be completely bowled over by them.
if you do get the chance to have a birth at home, it's just one of the single most incredible experiences for a man as well, but obviously his job's a hell of a lot easier. A lot of running around and getting stuff.
Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your talk.